FCC's at it again, proposing yet more major software changes for the emergency alert system, and at what cost for the large number of broadcasters who will not benefit from the change. I will have my say on today's FCC Extra. Also, the FCC is getting ready to lead the charge in the booster boom. Those items coming up right now.
REC, FCC Today, BG Bradley.
This is FCC Today, the podcast for Wireless Wednesday, January 31, 2024. Geotargeted boosters may be moving forward. In a joint statement issued today by Commissioners Brendan Carr and Jeffrey Starks, the commissioners announced that Chairwoman Jessica Rosenworcel has circulated a report and order and further notice of proposed rulemaking in MB Docket 20-401, which calls for the ability for FM booster stations to be able to break off of their primary station's program for a limited period of time per hour in order to originate content targeted at the area that will be served by the booster. In other words, commercials. In their joint statement, Carr and Starks laud geotargeting as a game changer, stating that the technology could help small and independent broadcasters stay in business by allowing them to offer hyper-localized content over radio, just as TV broadcasters are beginning to do so with next-gen TV. They further state that, without a doubt, geotargeting presents a new way of thinking about FM. If radio entrepreneurs want to test new business models and deploy new technologies, the FCC rules should not stand in the way. The technology created by geobroadcast systems has been the target of substantial controversy, not just by those representing large broadcast stations, but also by small station advocates such as REC Networks over both economic and interference concerns. No further information has been released about what is in the order or in the further notice of proposed rulemaking, nor is it known if this item will be adopted between meetings or will be on the agenda for the March open meeting.
FCC Extra, BG Bradley.
As noted last week on the podcast, I had mentioned the notice of proposed rulemaking in MB Docket 15-94 regarding more changes to the emergency alert system. This time, the commission wants to make EAS available to listeners in multiple languages. Under the proposal, the FCC would require EAS equipment to be able to support 13 different languages, including Spanish, Chinese, Tagalog, Vietnamese, Arabic, French, Korean, Russian, Haitian Creole, German, Hindi, Portuguese, and Italian. These are the most common spoken non-English languages in the United States, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. The Commission's rules already require CMS providers to support multilingual wireless emergency alerts for these languages. For television, the FCC also wants to see EAS support for American Sign Language. Stations that primarily broadcast in languages other than English will be required to send their alerts in that other language if it is supported. The FCC is expecting equipment manufacturers such as Sage Alerting Systems and Digital Alert Systems to update their equipment to allow certain template messages that will be determined by the commission for each language. In addition, the commission is inquiring about the use of text-to-speech to carry messages in languages other than English. The timing and optics of this proposal, in this case, is unfortunate due to the current issues with Sage Alerting Systems right now and their release of Rev 96. The last update from Sage on this issue was on January 17th, where they stated that there will be more news available in a few days. Well, it's been 2 weeks and there's still no news. Small stations, including LPFM, non-commercial, and even small commercial stations, are still feeling the burn from the FCC's requirement for cap polling, which has absolutely no benefit to radio. This has resulted in software upgrade charges from around $200 to $1,000, and in some cases is requiring a complete change of equipment that has created a rush, especially at digital alert systems, where they ran into a supply chain issue And there are several multi-station broadcasters out there that have had to get waivers from the FCC because of the fact that there's an equipment shortage and they cannot get the newer boxes to support the version 5 DASDEX software. Now, this situation was so bad that REC even reached out to the NAB, and we were able to get a joint request to extend the deadline for Sage owners. I mean, something that the NAB and REC does jointly in has been for the past 20-plus years unheard of. But this is what brought us together. Now the FCC wants to do it again. The question, of course, is how much new software development will be put on the EAS manufacturers? How long will it take for them to turn all this around so it will be satisfactory for the FCC's expectations? As we've seen with the situation that Sage is facing with assuring that their software release is perfect, which is necessary, you know, for potential life-saving equipment such as EAS decoders, will this requirement take a lot of time of development? And will the FCC pressure a rush-to-market scenario on these manufacturers with such large demands? The bigger question, of course, is whether or not the costs associated with the hours that the manufacturers are going to have to spend for all of this additional development will be passed on to the customer through yet another paid software update. Where cap polling would benefit every television station, this requirement would only benefit a different but small subset of TV and radio stations, specifically those that do not broadcast English as a primary language, especially those stations that broadcast in a language other than English or Spanish, which by comparison is a very small number. In addition, with the 13 languages proposed by the FCC, it is very likely that some languages either have a single digit or no stations that use that language on a regular basis. Now, what about stations that run brokered programming in multiple languages or community stations that reach out to multiple ethnic communities? Are they going to have to change the settings on their EAS throughout the day? Or will the FCC require manufacturers to include a schedule feature to automatically change the announcements per the type of programming that's on the station at the time? You know, when you get into some languages, such as Chinese and Korean, this will create some new technical and possibly even some political issues. Unlike many languages which use more of a Roman character set that only take up one byte per character, languages such as Chinese, Japanese, and Korean use multi-byte characters. In the Chinese and Japanese languages, there are thousands of different characters which require text-to-speech systems to have extensive dictionaries in order to properly read the text, especially in cases where the same character may have different readings. This will also require the installation of fonts for television. Font files for the CJK languages are significantly larger, and there are fewer of them available on the freeware and public domain market, thus meaning the manufacturers may have to pay a premium to support these languages, especially with a font that can be easily visible on television, and which in the freeware market and such, there's not that many. There's not that many good Gothic fonts for CJK available for Linux and available in the freeware. The NPRM does explore the question regarding Chinese dialects. There are several regional dialects in China, and they have distinct differences. There are two major dialects, Mandarin and Cantonese. Mandarin is spoken mainly on the Chinese mainland and in Taiwan, or Cantonese is spoken in Hong Kong and some southern mainland provinces. Which dialect will the messages be in? If they're in Mandarin, will this send an endorsement by the FCC to send a message about the U.S. stance on Hong Kong versus communist mainland China? Okay, I'm just throwing that out there. Likewise, will the fonts be in simplified Chinese, which is primarily used in the mainland, or will it be used in traditional Chinese that's used in Hong Kong, Taiwan, overseas? I'm not an expert on the Chinese language, seriously. My knowledge is more geared towards the Japanese language, which is not included in the FCC's proposal. So I do ask those with knowledge of China, the language, to please educate me in the comments. I want to learn more. I hope that Chinese organizations, such as New Tang Dynasty, participate in this proceeding. I really do. Likewise, if Texas speech is used, how are the alerts going to be translated? While the Common Alerting Protocol, or CAP, does have the ability to display multiple languages for the same alert, almost all public safety points do not have staff available who can speak or write 13 different languages. Are we going to need to depend on machine translation? If so, who's going to pay for that API for these translation services? If we're going to require non-English stations to use machine translations for text-to-speech alerts, someone's going to have to pay for that access to the API services such as Google Translate. If the non-English stations have to pay, but English stations do not because they don't need it, is that not discrimination endorsed by the federal government? Many alerts that come through CAP are written in police speak and in ways that may not translate right. And let's face it, machine translation is not perfect overall. Does the government want to risk the wrong message going out? One thing that puzzles me is this expectation of American Sign Language. Now, in a situation where you need immediate translation for a live news anchor, the use of on-screen ASL is very justified. However, if someone with hearing impairments is able to read a scripted message on the crawl in English, why does there need to also be ASL? Again, educate me in the comments below. And finally, like I said with my opposition to CAP polling a couple years ago, if the National Weather Service is going to continue to use legacy alerts from their VHF transmitters and not switch to CAP IPAWS, why are we imposing yet new requirements and costs on both EAS manufacturers and broadcasters with very few alerts that come through IPAWS? And like with CAP polling, only a small number of stations will benefit from this. Small stations across the nation are struggling. Advertising revenues are down for commercial stations, and small non-commercial stations can't just drop $500 every time that the FCC or FEMA decides that they want to sneeze. It will be like before, where we will need to be going back to the FCC to ask for more waivers and more extensions. While the idea of extending EAS into other languages is a good thought, this is not the time to make it mandatory, especially as a large number of EAS participants can't yet be in compliance with the changes the FCC has already previously forced on broadcasters, more or less new requirements. Before CAP polling, EAS has gone for many years without substantial new software requirements. Chair Rosenworcel, this is not the time. Broadcasters need a break. Let's get the Weather Service on IPAWS first, then we can talk.
FCC Today,
the podcast is available on the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel, as well as on Podbean and other popular podcast providers. Please subscribe to the Michelle Bradley YouTube channel to stay informed. For up-to-the-minute applications and actions at the Media Bureau, visit our official website, fcc.today. REC Networks is always on at recnet.com for assistance with LPFM, full-service FM, and FM translators. Please contact REC at 202-621-2355. Until next time, I'm Michelle Bradley, SBE Certified Broadcast Technologist. Good day from Riverton. REC.